So the Torah tells us about the mitzvah of bris mila, v'yom hashmini yimo b'sar aroso. However, well before the Torah gave us the mitzvah, we know that Avram Avinu was commanded in the mitzvah of mila, as we've been reading about in Parashas Lech Lecha Vayera, that God told Avram, well, God told for Avram to mal himself, but then to mal his children. We'll see Yitzchak. So we have the Gemara tells us in Yuma a principle about Avram specifically, but we assume it applies to all the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Whatever it means on a different level, they had prophecy. They were willing to. Through their intuition, however it was, but we have a principle that Avram was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kulo even before it was given. Avram Avinu fulfilled the mitzvahs even before God commanded him to do it. So Gemara says in Numa, and one of the examples the Gemara gives, Afil Eruvi Tavshilin, even the mitzvah of Eruv Tavshilin, which is, it allows one to cook on Yanta. But the point of the Gemara, the Meshech Chachma points out, is that even mitzvahs drabanan, so to speak, he kept. Not only biblical mitzvahs, but even rabbinical mitzvahs. Whatever, the Gemara talks about Erev Tavshilin for Avraham, Erev Tachumin for Yitzchak. So the Meshech Chachma explains, because what do you want Erev Tavshilin? You could cook more food and have more guests over. That was the essence of Avraham Avinu, entertaining guests, having people over. And Yaakov was much more building his own family, because Avram had Yishmael, Yitzchak had Esau, but from Yaakov we have Klai Yisrael, so he was much more inward. Erev Tichumen is to make everything considered one in terms of the din of Eruvim. So the question is then, why did Avram wait then to be commanded on the mitzvah Mila? On all other mitzvahs he did on his own. That was the general rule. When it came to the mitzvah mila, thank you. When it came to the mitzvah mila, he seemed to wait for a tzivoy, a commandment. And the question is why. So, on a simple level, and Rav Nissen Alpert explained, and others, because what is a bris? A bris is a covenant. You have an agreement between two parties. So, if I'm going to make an agreement with myself, I mean, it might be good, but it's not going to go too far. It's not going to be worth anything, because you need two parties to make an agreement about. So, because I already convinced myself what I'm doing, I have to convince the other person to be on board. So therefore, the simple reason is because a bris, by definition, is at least two people, if not more. So therefore, it wasn't meaningful to make a covenant on your own, so he waited until God commanded him. However, others suggest differently. Others suggest they say in the name of the Maral Diskin, I think Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, others point out as follows. We have a general rule. We have a principle. Godo Hamitsuve Vaose Misha'eno Mitsuve Vaose, which means is greater, it's counterintuitive. But one, greater is the person, or you get more reward, but greater is the person who does a commandment he's commanded in than one who volunteers a commandment. In other words, it's counterintuitive. In other words, what would you think is better? Let's say if your kid waits for you to tell them to take out the garbage, or they know on their own to take out the garbage? Obviously. So as Tosis points out, on a certain level, volunteering something's a higher level. But what are we referring to here? Tosis points out, it's child psychology, they call it. You know, when the child's at the age where whatever you tell them, they do the opposite. So you tell them to stay up all night in order to get them to go to sleep, or you tell them why to get it. Of course, the question is, there is a mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. At what point do you teach that to your kid? But the point being is that no one likes to be told what to do. If you're 5, 10, 50, 70, everyone likes to at least feel that they're doing it on their own. It's their idea, whether it is or not. But that's the psychology. So it's much harder to do something when you feel you have to do it. So therefore, God's telling, who's God to tell me what to do? I want it. So therefore, it's much harder. We have to humble ourselves to someone else, that we're listening to someone else. So from that sense, it's always, that's what it means, that it's gadol, the one who does something, who's committed, because it's much easier to go, like, you know, for instance, let's say you're in camp, if you went to camp. So let's say if you have your day off and you happen to stay, so you wander around. If you want to play baseball, you play baseball. You want to go play tennis, you want to go swimming, you want to sleep. But if, imagine it's cold war and you're working and you sleep in and you say, I'm supposed to be somewhere at 10 o'clock. You have a job to do. So when you have a job, no one wants, that's another reason why, Rav Chanan, that's why people deny God, because if I deny God, I could do what I want. If I admit there's a job for me to do, it's much harder. That's a separate discussion. But either way, so that's what they point here. Gadol ha-metzuva v'yoseh, misha'eino metzuva. So greater is the one who, after the command to do something, still does it, the reward is greater. So if that's the case, then so that's why it says, that's why Avram waited, because it's a greater reward to the question. So why did he wait for all the other mitzvahs? Why didn't he wait on Talis, on Tfilin, on any other mitzvah he did? Why specifically Mila? So that's what the Mefarsh said, because let's say by the mitzvah of Tfilin, Talis, or whatever other mitzvah you want to pick, that's a daily mitzvah. It's not a one-time shot. So the fact if I put on Tfilin before, when he commands me to do it, doesn't take away from what I did before. I'm going to do the same exact mitzvah now, and I got good preparation, like perhaps the minute 30 days before a bar mitzvah boy puts on tefillin before. So you're practicing, so when I'm commanded, I'll do it right. But mila, fortunately or unfortunately, can only be done once. And once you take off the foreskin, that's it. So So there is a concept if someone converts and they're ready, so you take, it's called hatafas dam bris, you take off a little blood, but you can't do a bris twice. So that's why Avram wanted to do the mitzvah right. So by other mitzvahs he volunteered, there was no contradiction to when he becomes commanded, he'll continue doing them. But by Mila, it's a one-time shot, so therefore Avram had to wait. A third approach is from the Briska Rav, from the Soloveitchik family, as well as others. The question is, what's first, the chicken or the egg? What does it have to do with bris? So, we'll bagel and lox, I don't know. But what does it mean, what's first, the chicken or the egg? In other words, there's a mitzvah. We know back in the day, we've advanced. We have a lot of different curse words today. But back in the day, the biggest curse word was calling someone an aral, you uncircumcised individual. That was like the big put down back then. So, but what did it mean, aral? So aral means you're uncircumcised. So at what point did that become a negative? Like you were born with one. So it wasn't, if it's Garo is a terror, why did God then create a circumcised? That's what the Sefer Chinuch discusses. He wanted us to perfect ourselves. But it wasn't wrong. It wasn't anything physically wrong with being an Aro. When did it become wrong being an Aro? Is once God told me that I have to do the Mila. In other words, when God said the Arla, you do Chatika Sa Arla, that's when it became bad. It wasn't like an objectively evil thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's the Gemar HaMleda. You finish that's why we wait on the bris until you do the bris mila, until you name the baby. So they point out that the Briska Rav says it's only the mitzvah of mila that creates the evil status of being an Aral. Before then, like what's you might have been physically an Aro, but who cares? That's normal to be an Aro. There's no concept of... It's only once God commanded me... And therefore, that's what the Meshech Chachma points out. The question is, we notice before the bris, he points out that when Hashem appeared to Avraham, he went down on the ground. He went down on his knees. So Rashi says, why? Because he felt he was incomplete. He was an Aro, and how could I stand? The question is, God spoke to Avram hundreds of times. We never find him going down. So some say he went down and didn't tell us, but others say no. The Meshech Chachma says no, because the Pasuk before commands Avram to do the Bris Mila. Up until the Bris Mila, there's nothing wrong with being an Aro. It's the mitzvah of Mila that creates the status of an Aro. And in fact, so that's why Avram had to wait, because it was, in fact, as the Chasam Sofer points out, maybe it'd be prohibited to do a mila if you're not commanded. Why? Because There's a prohibition of injuring oneself. Of you can't go, suicide is the extreme, but you can't cut off your finger, you can't cut off your leg. You're not allowed to do things. You have to take care of yourself, so you can't do things to hurt yourself. So in fact, the concept would have been a biblical prohibition to do a mila on yourself if you have no command, because what are you doing? There's no purpose to it. It's only a purpose when God commands you to do it. So therefore, that's what he says. He had to wait for the commandment. In fact, there's a famous maaser with the Satmar Rebbe. He was up in Monroe. That's where we saw, when they're in Williamsburg, the other place they hang out is Monroe. That's where it's Satmarville. I passed it when I went to the Catskills all the time. So I guess it was the yard site of, maybe it was the yard site of the Satmar Rebbe. So the Hasidim get together and they're telling stories of the Rebbe. So one story, he says that the Satmar Rebbe asked the following question. He says, did Yitzchak have a pidyon haben? We know if you're a firstborn child, male, so then it actually has to be pet terechem, has to be the first one, but that's a separate discussion from the woman. So this halacha is a pidyon haben. So on the day, after day 30. So the question was, did Yitzchak have a pidyon haben? So Schneider in the audience, someone in the crowd raised him and said, what are you talking about? We know that based on the Gemara, Malki Tzedek, who was shame, was a Kohen, but he did something wrong, he lost it, and Avram was a Kohen. So the tradition was Avram was a Kohen, so a Kohen doesn't have a... He said, good Kasha, and he sat down. So the question is, what was this Avram going to say before he sat down and said, okay? So they point out, so Pidyon HaBen is a different type of mitzvah. What do I mean? It's like, let's say it's a doubt, Milo you could tell, but let's say you're not sure if you put on tefillin. So you go back and you put them on. Maybe without a bracha, but you put them back on because we have a principle, Safek Daraisa Uchumra, a doubt regarding a biblical law was strict on. So let's say you're not sure, about Pidyon HaBen. So we have a different principle working there. Since it involves money, so it's hamotzi mechaveiro alav haraya. Let's say in civil matters, in monetary issues, let's say there's a doubt whose money. There's no witnesses. There's no documents. So, the one who is the mukstuk, the one who's holding on to the money, the burden of proof is on you. If you want to take it away from me, if I want to take it away from you, whoever's holding on to it is the muksak. So we have a if you want to take money away from the person who had the firstborn child, the burden of proof is on the kohen if he wants to get the money. So why is there a difference? Because by pidyon haben, it's a din of chov. It's a monetary. That's what he would have said. He said, until there was a mitzvah of pidyon haben, there was no monetary. It's not a pure mitzvah like other mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah which involves a monetary obligation, and that you need an obligation on. It's an issue of gezeilah. If you take my money and I don't know it to you, so that's how we explain.
But the whole question is problematic because the whole pidyon b'chor is tied to something which happened in Mitzrayim, to a historical event. Ki biko b'chor, because I destroyed all the
b'chor. Right, but that's just the history behind it. But we're assuming it's a metaphysical. The kasha is when. Well, I'm just saying, the kasha is when the Gemara says Avram kept all the Torah. Obviously, we don't know what that means exactly. I'm just saying, if that's true, but that's also why do we do mila? Do I do mila? Do when we have a bris mila today? Do we do it because Avram Avinu was commanded? No. The Rambam writes in Perusha Mishnayis, we do the mitzvah mila because it was given on Har Sinai. It was given from all the Sefer Bereishis, we learn about the history, and we'll add the beginning of Sefer Shmos. But that's not why. In fact, as I was pointing out, there are three parts to the Bris Mila. There's the Mila that's cutting off the Arla. There's the Priya revealing the foreskin, and then there's the Mitzitza sucking out the blood. So the Mefarshim point out, we know we had the three angels on. The three people coming down to visit Avram Avinu. So why specifically the three angels? One told Avram that he's going to get better from the, he's going to heal him from the Bris Mila. Another one told Sarah, tell Sarah she's going to have a baby. Another one said we're going to destroy Sodom and Amara. Why specifically those three? So when you do a good deed, you create good angels, so to speak. So the angel that went ahead and that from the mitzvah to the mitzitz, so the meal has three parts. The mitzvah mitzitz is a health issue. That's the angel that came down to heal Abraham. The meal, what is mila? You're cutting off the evil, you're separating the good from the bad. You're cutting off, that was to destroy Sodom. And the one to tell Sarah about the news, that's Priya, you're revealing the memory, you're revealing the news. So the three angels were Mida, Kenegan, Mida, in the discourse of the mitzvah Mila, which was right before, at the end of Lech Lecha, so hence in the beginning of Ayera, these three people dressed up as angels, but they were created from the mitzvah Mila, and they all had that specific purpose.